Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's gonna demand rock. Saints, we all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's gonna come in his heaven airplane.
Just the same.
hope may be in Rome.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unseen Realms. This is Jennifer Snell, and we are getting ready to start episode 50, John Teeter, Time Traveler, and Timelines. And my co-host is Grace Unglide. Here she is.
Hi, everybody. I hope you had a wonderful fall day today. And, we have a lot of information to cover about John Teeter. I kind of spent the day doing research off of a couple of different internet sites. And off of YouTube, actually, and they were extremely interesting. So, do you want to start, or do you want me to start?
Why don't you start? Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So, all right. Let me say this. I have a couple of different internet sites that talk about John Teeter, and the first one was like 5 minutes long. It was. Let me see. Do I have the name of the site? No. But if you see the one from, oh, here it is. It's called Time Traveler. It's from somebody named Time Traveler. It's Kepler Telescope Channel, and it's about John Teeter. The other one was Time Travel, the Story of John Teeter, Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. That looked pretty good. They do kind of the same stuff we do. They talk about things in the world and all that other stuff. It seemed like a really cool site. And the last one was Time Travel, the Story of John Teeter, and it was Kevin Moore and Oliver Williams, and it's www.themooreshow.uk.com, and that was extremely interesting about John Teeter. So, I don't know if any of you know about John Teeter, but John Teeter was a time traveler from the year 2036. And in fact, at the time, 2036, in his timeline, they had experienced kind of a nuclear, I want to say, apocalypse. And he was coming back. It was the end. You know, it was the end. It was the cleanup time, and people were kind of getting over this, rebuilding themselves. And so he had a time machine that was able to take him back to the year 1975 because he was looking for the IBM 5100, which at the time was a portable computer, all right? And what they needed, now the time he came back was 1975, and he was looking for this IBM 5100. So what he did was he's a special forces person, and he knew he had to go back to 1975, so he studied about it. And they said the way they picked these guys was his grandfather worked in the project of the IBM 5100. So they picked somebody who would know somebody in there. And he was sent back because he could, you know, talk to his grandfather and say, hey, you know, I am John T. to your grandson, and give him all sorts of details. And that way he could get in that way to, you know, to get what he needed. So he kind of went in that way. So then he stopped off in 1998. Actually, it said he stopped off in 1999, but actually he stopped off in 1998 because they found two faxes that sounded like had his style of writing. And then in 1999, he came on the internet, and he said, "Hi, I'm from the future. Hi, I'm, you know," he said, he introduced himself, and he said, "I'm from the future." And what makes this so interesting is all of his predictions about the future. That's why people remembered him. Yeah. He came in 1995, so, November. And go ahead, what?
So just to interject here, he came on the Art Bell Show on Coast to Coast AM.
Right, right. And
the frenzy started kind of after that.
Right, and according to what they said was we were supposed to have what the Oliver Williams said. Actually, he was supposed to go straight back to 2036. But because of Y2K, he started something in 1975, and he showed up in November of 1999. Now, all of you probably remember the Y2K panic. People were buying generators. We thought the whole infrastructure was going to come down. And I think he either tweaked or he either waited to see what he had done would help. And so he stayed around for a year. In fact, probably changing the timeline, you know, probably changing our future because he was a time traveler. So he probably changed our future during that time when he was here. So there was the predictions that he made that were so astounding. Now, you could talk to him. Apparently, he was very open. He would talk about politics. He would talk about politics, technology, physics, things from the future. Things he wouldn't talk about. He wouldn't talk about people. He wouldn't talk about who won the lottery. He wouldn't talk about horse races, you know, who would win the horse races. He found that really self-centered and really, you know, it was just self-serving. So he wouldn't have any part of it, that part of it. His knowledge of the IBM. Now, let me go in and check. Okay. What was so fascinating about the IBM 5100 was that it was able to they needed it in the future because of its ability to communicate between old large IBM mainframe systems and other systems. They would talk. And I'm not a computer scientist, so I have to go directly to the page. It used the language BASIC APL, and it was a portable IBM, all right? And only 20 people in the world knew in 1999 that this computer, the IBM 5100, could talk between the mainframes, had the ability to communicate between mainframes. And it wasn't until 4 years later where IBM announced that the computer, that this capability existed, you know. And unless he was one of the 20 people, he couldn't have possibly known. He couldn't have possibly known at all. His time machine, let's go back to kind of other things that he talked about. He was said to be part of a military group whose job it was to go back and get the computer in 1975, all right? He was asked online, he talked about 2036, and that he said people were a lot nicer, that they had kind of figured out what was important. He said that they would look back at us at this period and they wouldn't like us very much because we were civically ignorant sheep. And very, very, you know, into ourselves and not into trying to make the community, the world, a better place. And he said people aren't going to very like us very much during this period. They're like, they're just not going to like us. So let me see. So that was the couple of things that he talked about. Now, other things that he talked about, he said that when he goes back in time, actually how it works is that it's a parallel universe. It's kind of a parallel universe. So when you are traveling, all right, you end up going into an alternate world, which is 1 or 2 degrees different than your world. And you never get to go back to your world. So it's like being in, you know, that fun house of the mirrors in the fun house, the room of mirrors. Actually, he called it a barbershop, but I was trying to think. Imagine an entire room of mirrors, all right? You can see yourself all over the place. It would be like going through one of the mirrors. And if you go through one of the mirrors, everybody goes through one of the mirrors. And you can never really get back to your own timeline. So he said the reason that you would go to do that would be to get something, all right, or to be an observer into that time period. You would go, you know, but you'll never really get back to the same timeline. He said that they asked how long did it take using his time machine, how long did it take to go back? And he said basically to go back a year took about an hour. So if you were going back 30 years, it would take about 30 hours. He said his time machine wasn't after 60 years, the deviation would be more than 1 or 2%. So he said, for instance, if he tried to go back to the time of Christ and see the birth of Jesus, Jesus may not have even been born in that timeline. He might not even have been born, so it wouldn't work going all the way back then. Now, apparently the time machine weighed about 500 pounds, and it was in a black van. And, you know, he had to kind of study the period, and the whole thing, the van and the time machine, had to come and show up at this, you know, at the period, you know, said. So it was too big for one person to kind of carry around. So that was part of it. He said, now, during the things that he's talked about for the future, now people talked about it. Why people remembered him so much was because of what he talked about in the future. He was just everybody, because everything that he said, a lot of things that he said came true. So he talked about how time travel works. And let me go to my notes here, okay, because that was pretty interesting, and I don't know the physics of it. All right, let me see. All right, okay. He said that his time machine was the size of a large suitcase and weighs 500 pounds, and that it was kept in the vehicle at all times. Now, the way that time machine worked was it worked using mini black holes called micro singularities. By injecting electrons into them and by altering their spin and direction, this comes from Oliver Williams, it was possible to create a gravitational field that could be manipulated by the time machine. It was this gravity field that allowed you to move forward and backwards in time. He talked about curved black holes, and he said that the math for how this would work was available now. A scientist named Kerr, and I didn't find the name, I'm sorry, described a spinning black hole and how it is possible to pass through one of these without being crushed by the polarity, because the singularity was donut-shaped and it was possible to pass through these into other universes. He said, you're moving into a parallel universe that looks exactly like the one you left, but you can adjust at what point in time you want to enter this universe, all right? So he said that, you know, knowing that it's not possible to come back to the same universe, you can never change the one that you left. So he was never able to change the universe that he left. You can change the universe that you're going into, which is that theory that, you know, somebody said, well, if you go back and you kill your grandfather, you would never be born. But that's not true, because with the time machine, you would end up in an alternate universe. Maybe the person that was you coming into that universe would never be born, but you would still be born because you were going into a new universe. All right? Let me see. So I thought that was really, really, really interesting. And let me see. Okay, so, here I have the Art Bell Coast to Coast. Okay, so then he talks about some things. And remember, this is 1998. He says that in New York, there's a skyscraper missing from where I'm from in 2036. Now, you have to remember that 9/11 hadn't happened yet. So apparently the Twin Towers were missing. I mean, this was 1998, 99, because he showed up in 98 or 99, and then he left by March 2000. I think he left by March 2000. Where mm-hmm. he was when he came back into this lifetime, he was from Florida, all right? So when he came back, he actually went back to see his family in Florida, and because he knew who they was, he knew who they were, and he was able to verify it. He spent the time with his younger version of himself that was born in 1998, his mother and his father. Now, since then, the family has moved to Omaha, Nebraska, and this is, I got this from another site. This is the one, the untold story thing. And the family is being represented by an attorney. You know, everything that comes out of the family comes out. They don't save too much,
right.
So the attorney doesn't
right.
say too much. But I guess for, you know, for their own peace of mind, they are in this, they are kind of hidden off, all right? So he stayed with his parents for a three-month period, all right? So I wondered, you know, I kind of wonder how his mom felt seeing him and then watching him go and knowing she would never see that, him coming back in again. I was, like, trying to, you know, figure that out. Let me see. His now, according to Oliver Williams, his IP address matched up and said that he was in Florida, okay, according to Oliver Williams. However, according to this other website, it says the IP address didn't match up. It said the IP address was, the IP address was, hold on, I got it, was somebody named John Rick Haber, all right? Because they had, first of all, from this other YouTube video, they said they had no records of the Teeter family or John Teeter born in the 80s. And when they looked at the IP address, it came up as John Rick Haber. And John Rick Haber's brother owns a foundation called the John Teeter Foundation. And his brother owns a copyright to a lot of the Teeter material. All right. His brother also is a computer scientist, which who would know about the IBM 5100 and the UNIX 2038. And this was from an article, an IO9 article by a guy named Keith Varones. So that's not part of Oliver's stuff. I'm sorry. I have friends named Olivier. All right. So what he talks about the future, these are some of the things that he talks about the future that he said, actually what happens is that there was a civil war. The seeds were planted in the United States in 2004, 2005. And as you look, it's kind of, you know, it's, the seeds were kind of planted there. Then the conflict started around 2008, and people started shooting each other in 2010. All right. And then he says in 2013, the United States dissolves, and in 2013, the world would be engulfed in this, and there would be a nuclear war, and then a period of recovery. That's what he talks about. He said at the time, it's not going to be a nuclear war that devastates everything. The technology would be there to just, like, pinpoint a city and not touch anything for 10 miles around it. The nuclear technology would be there to, you know, really go in and just destroy what you needed to destroy and not to destroy anything else. So what ends up happening, and it seems like what ends up happening, what he says, is he's part of a militia. It ends up, there was a civil war. I think the people in the country start getting upset with the legislation, immigration, the things about medical insurance and all that stuff. And this civil war starts. And he says that it ends up that they have help from Russia, and they end up winning the war. At this time, China annexes Japan, North Korea, and all Korea, Japan, anything else they can access, and tries to go and get Australia. But their advances are rebuffed. Okay, they can't get any further. Also, it says that our population ends up, because of the war, cholera, bovine encephalopathy, mouth cow disease, and other things. Our population drops from 7 billion in the world to 2 billion in the world. Okay, now this is, you know, this is that timeline. He says that mad cow disease is actually going to be a big problem in the year 2036. He would not eat any food that he didn't see was made. He would only eat fresh food. If he didn't see it was made or didn't see it was fresh, he wasn't going to eat it. Okay, he couldn't believe that we would go to fast food restaurants and not know how our food was made. He just couldn't believe that. Or what would really, really, you know, make his mouth just drop open was when he would walk into our supermarkets and saw all the food that was available, all the milk, all the bread, all the, just how much food was possible was available to us. He said, during the future, when this happens, when the militia, because it's actually going to be a militia that attacks the cities, he said, when you're part of the militia at some time in your life, you're part of the militia. Everybody is, because this causes you to be more connected to your, you know, to what you're fighting for. You know, how, the country will have more value. What you're doing, you believe in more in what you're doing. So everybody had to do it. Let me see what else he talked about. Let me see. He did talk about that in the future that a lot of people don't take advantage. And he was really surprised. He said a lot of people don't take advantage of the art, the literature, everything that we have available to us. They said in the future it's not going to be there and people are really going to miss it. So he was extremely, you know, he thought that was really kind of sad. He thought that was really sad. And he said, like, if the electricity goes out, everybody comes out and says, go ahead.
But also understand, this is all in that timeline, which we're not in anymore.
Right. Now, that's what I want. So that, I guess I should hurry up with my predictions on here. I mean, you know, because that was the thing is, hurrying up with the predictions. Let me see. At the time, he describes Russia as an ally to the States, and he said there'll be some fighting in Europe and Germany and France. So in Germany and France. But South America isn't going to get hit so hard. But that is in his timeline. Yes, honestly, that is in his timeline. So I'm going to hand it over to you now because I keep talking.
No, that's okay. You can keep talking. I just wanted to make the point to the audience that this is all what he was saying that was in his timeline, and I do believe we shifted out of it.
Well, he said, you know, because at the time he talked about being able to connect to the Internet. In 1998, he said that we would be able to connect to Internet nodes. And he said little devices are going to be everywhere, and you're going to be able to get onto the Internet without having to connect. And back then in 1998, everyone was on a baud rate modem connecting to their computer.
Right.
You know, the wireless Internet was still a ways off. That was why people were listening to him, because all the little things he talked about in technology and politics happened. I didn't happen to catch what he said on the other stuff. So he said we're not going to be interested in time travel in that thing. Because, but at the time he said that China would be the next country to put someone in space. And at the time, China was the next one to put, you know, someone on the into space. He said that, he talked about UFOlogy, you know, the aliens. And he believed that actually aliens were time travelers with more sophisticated machines than his was. He said that, you know, multiple realities are real, and he said in the future Stephen Hawking would change his mind on how black holes worked. And 4 years later, Stephen Hawking did change his mind on how black holes work. Okay, so that's kind of pretty much all I have to say. Now I have to add something into this. I totally agree with Jennifer that we've changed the timeline through the efforts of a lot of spiritual people, Doreen Virtue. James von Prague, what's her name? Hay. Louise Hay, is that it?
Yeah.
Hay House Radio, I think that all of these people and all this dawning, everybody has kind of plugged in. And I think we have moved away from maybe not 1, 2, 3, 4, but I think we have totally changed that timeline. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
So I'm done right now. I've gotten everything I can get. So, and I had, there was other stuff, but we had company today that kind of dropped in. So that's what I have. So go ahead. You can talk about timelines.
No, I think that's really a good overview. Thank you of John Cheater. Wow. You talked about all of it, which is really good. So I do believe John Teeter came back to tell us we needed to change our ways. And I do believe people listened. And there have been other time travelers who have come back and said the same thing, like Gene Roddenberry was a time traveler, I believe. And I'm sure we've had more. Because the Ascended Masters can time travel. And
right. Well, they can do anything.
People don't know that. But, I mean, you know, I was just talking to someone the other day about the fact that George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, and Saint Germain were all time travelers back to the Revolutionary War. And Saint Germain was the mystery man that helped get them to sign the Declaration of Independence in Philadelphia. So, yes, I believe that there can be people that come from the future and come back to help us, you know, humanity. And I don't really have anything to add about John Teeter because you covered all of it, but I will say this. If you're interested in learning more about something called Project Looking Glass, okay? Project Looking Glass, and there was a man called Dan Burrish, last name B as in boy, U-R-I-S, Sam, C-H. I'll put a link on my web page. He was involved with something called Project Looking Glass, and this was an ancient technology that the U.S. government found, kind of like Stargate. Did you ever watch that movie? Well, you probably didn't. There was a show called Stargate.
You know me.
Stargate, which was a series on sci-fi. I mean, a lot of people watch it. I think it's still out there. There have been a couple movies. And basically, Dan Burrish said that that was a real invention, that that did exist, and that we use it to time travel. And we use it to go from different places on the planet. And I'm sorry, if you believe that CERN is just for science, you got something else coming. CERN is, I believe, a time travel device too. I think that's why they built that. There's a lot more to it. And I'm talking about CERN, the Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Where they're trying to create black matter. They said they're trying to create black mass or black matter, dark matter. But anyway, there's more to that story too. But and then the other thing I want to throw out there is there's a couple other things. If you're interested in the subject, Montauk, New York, there's been all kinds of time travel experiments out of Montauk. Al Bielek is a very famous man that has seminars on time travel, and also the Philadelphia experiment. The Philadelphia experiment was when the U.S. government tried to basically, you know, bleep in and out a warship into the, what do they call that, English Channel right near Germany. They tried to bring it in there.
Well, it was out of Philadelphia, right? I mean, the experiment took place right outside of Philadelphia, didn't it?
Yeah. And anyway, there's been all kinds of books written on that, too, if you're interested. That the ship actually had flags on it that said distress. The ship had flags that said distress. So they think that the people on board were trying to tell others that the ship was in distress. It didn't go right. The experiment went horribly wrong, and the men were fused to the ship, the hull. It's like their molecules were scrambled with the hull, and the men that survived went crazy, and it was really horrible.
Yeah,
they were Navy people, but yeah, that's about all I've got. I definitely believe we're doing it. I believe our government is doing it now. I think it's probably the best kept secret we have. And, you know, the other thing I want to mention here is timelines. I heard this one time that every time you make a decision, it creates different timelines. If that doesn't blow your mind.
Well,
like,
you know, when
I'm
going to
have pizza
reading.
Or am I going to have pizza or cheeseburger for lunch? Well, there's a timeline for pizza and there's a timeline for cheeseburger.
Yeah, I mean, and we do readings when you alert somebody to the fact that, you know, if you know, when you alert somebody to the fact of something, you've changed the timeline if they listen. You know, it's kind of like, well, if you keep going down this same line, you know, this is what's going to happen. And here we're talking about just something bigger. You know, we're not talking about a person's life. We're talking about something bigger, the entire universe. I mean, this is what we're doing right now. Oh, yeah. And he talked about, I have another thing to tell you. They apparently, Mrs. Teeter, I don't know if her name's Mrs. Teeter or not, but John's mother came out. There's supposed to be some kind of letter on the internet. Because this guy, Oliver Williams, I would definitely take a look into his website because he puts out, I think he has a www.johnteeter.com, and he's been looking at this for a while. So apparently there's been a letter out that not only was one John in this timeline, but another John showed up. And reason, because he's saying, why did he post this? So what they think happened is some other John Teeters are coming into this timeline, and he's posting this in order to give them directions on how to get out when they get here. It's kind of like, you know, because he's like, well, why would he start message? Because there's other time travelers that don't. One, he's either trying to contact somebody, or two, he's trying to manipulate something. Because he said, I'm giving you all these warnings, but I know you won't listen. And in some ways we have listened, in some ways we haven't listened. I mean, because he talked about, like, how people look at the homeless and they walk around them, how somebody's out of gas and nobody will stop because they figure everybody has a cell phone now and they're afraid to. And right after I you know, kind of heard this thing, I was driving up the road and I saw some guy stop. And he obviously, you know, his car was broken down. He was by himself. But I didn't stop. I had the kids. And I thought, oh, God, is he so right? I mean, because you just don't know, so you don't want to stop.
Yeah.
You know, they think, well, they either have a phone or the walk to the gas station will do them well anyway. So how far do we have to be? Because part of it, yes, we've probably changed the timeline. But the other part of it is we have to start going out of our houses, meeting our neighbors, you know, becoming part of a community again, helping those, you know, trying to close the gap between all the people that have and all the people who have not, you know, and start doing something about it because we're not going to really move things behind our computers. I mean, seriously, I mean, we're fine there. But, you know, you got to get out and start meeting people again and, like, being part of something, you know, just anything. I mean, I knew there's a lot of problems about, you know, people going to church and stuff like that, you know. They're like, well, you know, but guess what? That's part of community. I mean, the community. Oh, yeah, there's the church part. But a lot of those people at church, some of them, you know, believe in angels. Some of them do Reiki on the side. Some of them do energy. And you just don't say anything to the person in charge of the church. But there's that community. Like yesterday, my husband takes care of the catechism at the church, and they did the Tower of Babel. And the kids did an amazing job. They had the tallest one there. Actually, Gregory played God. Okay, he was behind the altar in a white robe, and they were doing the Tower of Babel. So they took the hymn books, and they passed it over. And they had really big, tall kid, and they passed it over. And as they were passing the hymn books in front of him, he pretended to be the Tower of Babel. And he rose and he rose and he rose. And Gregory jumps up and goes, what? What are they doing? What? What? Oh, my God. He went on for about 5 minutes like this. And then he started pretending to punch the Tower of Babel down. And then everybody started speaking in different languages and went away. And that was pretty funny. But it's all part of that is you're not going to – you're not going to grow by not being with other people. I mean, it's easy, you know, but every person is a universe. Every person is a world. And, you know, people need help when they get older. People have, you know, problems and things like that. It's kind of really going out there in the community and taking care of each other.
Yeah, and it's all about intention.
Yeah, it's all about intention, too. It's all about intention.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, listen,
I had my kids
on. We've got a caller. We've got a caller who's
holding
on.
Oh, yeah, we've had her on forever. I guess she should come on, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you've been holding for a long time. We appreciate it.
Oh, that's okay. I was loving listening. This is Holly from Seattle.
Holly.
Hi, Holly.
Hi, guys.
Thanks
Do I ask a
in.
Question? Thank you.
Absolutely.
For having me. I don't know what to ask.
Do you have any comments about the show while you're waiting for something to ask?
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love listening to that. I believe all that stuff. Yeah, that was cool. I'm just wondering about my mother issues. Do you see us talking again, or is it best I stay away from her?
What's your birthday, Holly?
10/25/64.
Can I ask why? I'm just going to come right in. What's the issue with you and your mom?
Well, what I think it is, or
what you think it is?
Well, the last straw was when I got divorced. She let my ex-husband live with her.
Oh yeah, I can see how that. Sorry, I can see
There's
how
so
that would be a problem. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to keep it short. No, it's funny now. I mean, it's been like 3 years, but at the moment, yeah, it was devastating. But there's just more, so much more than that.
Right.
Of course. Yeah.
Well,
but the backstabbing.
She what?
The backstabbing was a bit much to take.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk to her?
Well, part of me does and part of me doesn't.
Okay, all right.
Because
well,
your mother and, you know, is it healthy for me to even talk to her again?
Do you want me to open up your Akashic Records real quick? I mean, we have time and you're the only caller. I would be willing to do that.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it.
What's your full legal name?
Well,
I don't think she wants...
Okay.
It's okay because I have different names, so there's no way anybody can steal my identity. I have so many different names. But birth name is Holly Ann Rolette.
How do you spell the last name?
R-O-L-E-T-T-E.
Okay. No, this is not the norm. I don't usually do this, but since you're our only caller and you've been holding for so long, I felt it was only fair.
I appreciate it.
Okay. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, instruction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Help me to know Holly Ann Rolette in the light of the Akashic Records, to see Holly Ann Rolette through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the Masters, teachers, and loved ones of Holly Ann Rolette have for her. The records are now open. Okay. Interesting. You have a very strong connection to the goddess, Divine Mother.
Huh?
Divine Feminine, yeah. Can I just ask your mother's first name?
Sure, Suzanne, or her birth name was Isabella, or Isabel.
Okay.
She changed her name too.
Okay. So you definitely have a past life karma with her. And honestly, I feel like that's done. I don't think you have to rekindle your relationship.
Okay.
It was between you and she and your husband in another past life. and I'm feeling like, oh my God, this is going to sound so out there, but I promise you it's true. You were hung as a Scottish witch.
I've heard that.
Really?
Well, I heard I was burned.
Like, I'm having trouble, like, swallowing right now, and I'm getting a noose around my neck. I feel like you were hung as a Scottish witch. You are part of that thing that happened in Scotland under King James. Time period. And I feel like he was involved and she was involved in that same lifetime. And in essence, they did it again to you.
They did.
They betrayed you again. Yeah. They didn't learn the lesson. They didn't learn it. Now, let me tell you something. You set this up with them so that they would learn the lesson, and they didn't.
Oh.
And that's okay. But listen, that's okay, because you tried, you gave it your best, and they didn't want to come forward and kind of like rescind and atone for what they did. And
yeah,
they did it again.
That's crazy.
And she, your mother in that lifetime was a man, and I believe she was part of the church. And I believe that the husband was also part of the church, and they kind of turned on you.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone accused you, and they said, oh, yeah, she's a witch. Oh, yeah, I've seen her downstairs in the middle of the night. I've seen her casting spells in the middle of the night, although you were probably like, they're showing me you were like spinning thread. You know, you were up late spinning thread, and they're like, oh, she's casting the wheel. You know, and all this stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Total bullshit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're free of her. You're free of them. If you want me to, we can cut the cords. Grace can help me cut the energetic cords.
Oh, yes,
all around.
Yeah, because it was awful. Yes.
Okay, so now we're going to call in Archangel Michael and Raphael. And we're going to cut all energetic cords through all periods of time, past, present, and future. We're going to ask all energetic cords, all lifetimes with Suzanne. And I'm sorry, what was his name?
His name is
Gilbert.
His name is Gilberto. Okay, Gilbert.
Yeah.
We're going to cut all cords, all directions of time where they accused her of being a witch, because she was a divine feminine goddess and incarnated into human form. And we're going to ask that, let's see, when was that? I'm trying to get a date there. Scottish witch trials.
I'm going to guess 1876. It's just a guess.
I think it was a little bit later. Yeah. I'm getting 1591.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, 1591 and let's see here. Let's see if I can get a place. If I can get a location, I can actually clear the land, which is what we want to do too.
My location? Yeah, they live 3 streets away from me.
Oh, I mean the location of where you were killed.
Yeah, she can clear the karma.
Oh.
let's see here real quick. I'm gonna go with I'm getting Glasgow.
Yeah.
Oh wait, North Berwick Witch Trials, where's that? Hold on a second. Google Maps, North Berwick, Scotland. Have you been to Scotland?
No.
Have you had any desire?
Yeah, in Ireland, yeah.
Okay. That might be good for you, I think, to visit that area. Again, it's east of Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It's called North Berwick, Scotland, is where this happened. So we're going to get the key from Gaia from 1591 North Berwick, and we're bringing it forward to clear for Holly. The other thing is that, you know, it's okay now to come into your power. Those people can't hurt you anymore.
Yeah.
And
Holly,
I was just going to say one last thing. With karmic relationships, even though it's a family member, you don't have to stay in it if you don't feel good. Because once you've played out the karma, which you have already, you're done with that. And we just cut the cords to the relationships. I mean, of course, it's your free will if you want to go back. But I would strongly advise you that if these family members do not make you feel good about yourself, I would not continue the relationship because it's just going to hurt you in the long run. You won't be able to manifest financial abundance and all this other stuff.
This is a nine personal year for you. So this is an ending of things, which you'll finish in January. You are born 10/25/1964. So, okay, so this is a nine personal year for you. And you're supposed to see however October goes, because that will give you an indication of what's going to happen next year. Your next year should be full of new things. I've been pulling cards while Jennifer's talking. And I guess she's an indigo kid. I'm getting up that she's an indigo and she's a light worker. It feels like you've been kind of tired in the past and kind of confused about what to do next, because this is what the cards are saying. But now that Jennifer has cut the cords and we've cut the cords, there's going to be you're independent now. Now you're free of it. It's over. It's finished, okay? There's going to be more harmony in your life. I think there was also a clearing of the ear chakra, because I guess some of the things that they say must hang around in your ears. And so there was a clearing of the ear chakras, or you need to clear your ear chakras. Are you seeing anybody right now?
No. I still haven't been able to date since that.
Okay. Cutting the cords from this relationship and also forgiving them. You have to forgive them, or you're going to put cords in them and they're going to put cords in you. Once you're able to forgive, do that Ho'oponopono thing or whatever it is, you will be able to attract a new love in your life. It's going to be either a new love of something new in your life, or there's going to be a person in your life that's your new love. But you have to go through the forgiveness thing of forgiving them. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to invite them back into your life. You can forgive them and bless them and let them go on their way. you know. If you really need to see your mom, because a lot of people do, then make the visit short, you know, and don't get involved in anything. Just, you know, try to stay out of the web.
Yeah.
I mean, Jennifer said resonates. I didn't open your records, but what she said resonates. But it says that you're going to be independent. You're going to have new things coming your way, and just do the forgiveness thing. And next year in January, watch how your October goes. Today is what, the 15th? Today's
yeah.
the 15th? All right, so this is a 1, 6, 8. So it's probably an 8-day for you. That's good. You're managing everything. You're getting ready. Tomorrow's a 9-day. So you watch how your October goes, and that'll give you an idea of how your next year is going to go.
Okay.
All right?
That sounds great. Yeah, thank you both so much for spending time with me. That's so nice of you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, you're welcome, Molly. And, you know,
okay.
Good for you that you've stayed tried and true to who you are. Keep persevering on that path.
They were telling me I was crazy because I believe in all the psychic stuff, you know, all the spiritual world. Yeah, they called me crazy and everything, and they even put it in court that I'm crazy.
They haven't learned about spirituality yet. They're still on the wheel. The wheel of karma.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. And also, when you're starting to change, I, you know, spent some time in therapy, and my therapist always said is, when you're changing, people will always try to put you back to where they feel comfortable you were. Okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll make it, it's called crazy making. They'll try to make you feel like you're crazy until you buy into it. No. Read what narcissism is. You know, arm yourself.
Oh, yeah, they both are.
Read what narcissism is and how to deal with them. And you can say, oh, I see this, I see that. And then you realize you're not the one, but part of a narcissist is they do make you feel like you're crazy, and it's actually not you, it's them. So, you know the direction you're going. Your indigo color. You're flying your indigo flag and keep flying it.
Nobody can keep me away from the spiritual world. Nobody.
Right.
And Holly, on that note, I just want to throw this out there for you. If you want to private message me, I have a group that we're doing earth work. We would love to have you help us. If you're interested.
We meet
periodically. It's people just like you, and we've done some really great things. So if you're interested, let me know.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thanks again, Holly.
All right.
And, you know, it's awesome to meet a real Scottish witch. I've read a lot about that, but I've never met anyone that was there. I'm very honored to meet you. You definitely went through a shitty time.
Okay, bye, baby.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, Grace. Well, I think that's it for the show.
I know. I don't see anybody who called in. I think we're done early tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
half an hour early.
Yay.
So how was your week? How was your last couple of days while we're here? Maybe somebody will jump on.
It's been very intense.
Yeah.
It was very intense last night. Like, I had a lot of earthbounds come to me, to my bedroom in the middle of the night. I had to cross over a lot of people. I haven't had that in a while, so that was interesting.
What is it from, the fires or what?
A lot of were slaves, local slaves.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to call Kathy and tell her about that. But a lot of them were actually from a plantation called Stagville, which is not far from here. It's about 30 minutes.
Doesn't, That's another thing. All you people who do mediumship work, you know, look around and start passing over souls, because that causes the vibration of the earth to go down too. I mean, it kind of causes. So if you can, whenever you're a place that is haunted or that you know that there was slavery or this and that, open a window and pass over the souls. I mean, you'll be doing the earth a great deal of good, and you'll be doing Mother Earth a great deal of good, and you'll be doing everybody a great deal of good by passing them over.
Especially if you live near a battlefield.
Right.
Any war, Civil War, World War One, World War Two, you know, we get a lot of earthbounds from wars that are just roaming everywhere. So.
Oh, can I talk about what I learned with Archangel Raphael in the class last week?
Yeah.
One or 2 weeks. Okay. She said that first of all, we have homework to do, and this is to start, because she said that actually Washington, D.C., we're on the verge of changing everything, she said, and she wants us to be in Telos as much as we can, bringing Telos to Earth, kind of imagining, you know, Telos coming on Earth and things like that. She said that things are created in fifth dimension.
They don't know.
What? Oh, okay. Oh, Telos is underground in Mount Shasta. There's a lot of ascended masters there, and they have their own city and things like that. And, you know, so
which
trying to bring heaven on earth.
Chakra. Which is also the crown chakra of the planet. That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
And also the cities have, apparently cities all have, what is that? Etheric cities mm-hmm. above them. Like Manhattan, like Washington, D.C. apparently was in the fifth dimension. And I think it was created by Saint Germain. And then it was dropped down in the third dimension. So she wanted us to start working on doing blueprints of what we would like education to be like in the future, how we see our technology in the future, where do we see our energy sources in the future. You know, kind of doing blueprints like that, like what kind of, you know, the angels will help us just so far. We got to help ourselves. What do we see for the future? Like, you know, how do we see wealth being distributed? Because she said pretty much everything is going to be changing very quickly. So how do we see it? So we already have to build it and envision it to bring it here. Let me see, what else did she talk about? She talked about not getting involved with what's going on in the news. She says it's very hard. She said Mother Earth, and I talked about this last week, but I was having so many problems trying to stay on the computer last week that it was just ridiculous. So she said talk about not getting involved in little news stories that are going on because it drops our vibration down. Now is the time to keep our vibrations up as high as possible. It is time for all light workers to wake up and envision what you want, what you see this world being in the future. Absolutely envision what you're going to see as far as currency goes, as far as medicine goes. If you see that, if you can imagine it, it'll be there. Are we going to be using color and light to be able to heal? Are we going to, what kind of jobs are we going to have? How long are we going to have to work? What is our going to be our form, our monetary form? And these are all really important right now for the future. So she talked about going into Telos, and you can't go into Telos if your vibration isn't high enough. They won't let you in. If you're angry or anything like that, they're not going to let you in, you know. So going in there, working to go in there, and trying to bring that on Earth, you know, instead of it, let me see, instead of it forcing, it being forced to happen, you're actually being proactive about it and bringing what, you know, is there here. So, you know, that's kind of what she said.
Cool. And also, be careful about what you watch on TV.
Oh, it's manifesting abilities are happening very quickly. She said for that, she said, because a lot of light workers, well, she said especially the class, but a lot of light workers are very powerful. I'm going to add this. A lot of light workers are very powerful manifestors. So when you think of something, when you're meditating, if you're thinking things that you shouldn't, you know, that just you don't want to think about, just let it pass through. Let it pass through. Let it pass through. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. But really be careful where you're putting your energy. You know, are you putting your energy in the gossip that's going on with the stars? Are you putting your energy in the doomsday things, you know, and stuff like that? Are you putting your energy into creation? Are you putting your energy into self-care? Are you putting, really, where are you putting your energy?
Yes, very good advice.
Putting your yeah, so that's kind of what her what she said for the last week. I'm one class behind. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm even late with the archangels. I'm gonna have a terrible time all the time trying to explain
I'll
this
give you a pass.
After I die.
I'll give you a pass.
You didn't make it to class with the archangels. What's wrong with you? Sorry. And you can go into the retreats at night. Again, get Elizabeth Clare Prophet's book on the violet flame. Use it on a regular basis. Use it on the house. And another thing is when you start clearing your energy, you're going to notice everything around you start clearing because people have cords in you. They have love cords in you. They have unhealthy cords in you. But when you start clearing your energy to everything, you know, some people are corded to their house, their car, you're going to notice everything is going to move better, you know, because the violet flame burns off all that negativity and things just start moving faster. Since I started using the violet flame, I'm running to keep up with my life. I mean, I am running to keep up with it. I just spent 15 minutes before the show cleaning up my closet because it's basically come home, throw it in the closet, come home, throw it, and at one point you can't go through the closet anymore. So, yes,
yeah,
I'm running to keep up with my life right now.
We call it
huh?
the mound.
Yeah, well, it's funny when it's on the desk. It's not funny when you're trying to get in the closet.
The clothing mound.
I can't open the door anymore. But it's everything, you know.
My sister and I have a joke, and she says every now and then, she's like, the mound delivereth this piece of clothing to me. We don't know where it came from, but... I'm like, where's that
well,
shirt
notes
come from?
For the
mound.
The notes in the show, I put them in yellow so I would be able to grab them quickly. Yellow paper. I'm now getting color-coded paper, like I've got green, blue paper, so I can grab what I need out very quickly.
Oh, yeah. That's smart.
So that's kind of it. Watch. And, again, like another thing, I have to talk about just this last thing about Doreen Virtue because everybody's getting all upset.
Oh,
I said
no.
I wouldn't, but I'm going to. I am.
Oh,
I
no.
Think that
don't do it.
I am.
Don't
I am.
It.
What I'm thinking is that I am. I'm thinking that, you
oh,
know,
God.
I think she did an amazing amount of work. I really do. I think she did an amazing amount of work. And if she feels led to go someplace else, then that's her prerogative. The woman has worked very hard. And I know that I wouldn't have been on this timeline. I wouldn't have done angel work if it hadn't been for her. I wouldn't have. If she hadn't taught Charles, and it has been an amazing trip. I mean, I have seen so many blessings happen because of the work that I've done with her. And now she's decided to go another direction, which is fine. I love and blessings her way for whatever direction. That's the way she feels she's going to grow. But I'm really grateful for what I've been able to what I've been able to get by working, doing the work that she put out there, you know. And hopefully, with the direction that she has, more work will come out that will help other people. I saw she had something out the other day on father therapy, you know, dealing on issues with men. There's a book out there dealing on issues with men because people, you know, if they have a father that's very angry and a lot of women, if they have a father that's very angry or he's absent or he's abusive, then they end up spending their entire life looking to heal that. And I think that's a really good idea to put that kind of thing out there. You know, how to deal with your mother issues, how to deal with your father issues. This is what, you know, you may have if you've had these problems and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it. You don't have to say anything, but that's my take on it.
Well, philosophically, I agree with that everybody has their thing, you know. Everybody Can Change Their Mind. You know, Joel Osteen, whoever, you know, fundamental Christians, whatever. But then the other day someone sent me something. She's still asking for money for the animals. She's still asking for money. What's up with that? You know, it's like, come on. You know, really? You're asking for money?
Yeah, I haven't seen that thing on the asking for money with animals. If I have money now, it's going to go for, you know, hurricane victims, people who lost their homes in the fires,
Maria,
you know, and things like that. That's
if you're, look,
Puerto Rico.
Look, I just got off watching something on the internet on Dalen's show about what's happening in Puerto Rico. Okay. If I'm going to send my money to anybody, it's going to be Puerto Rico. Those people are starving to death.
I know.
I mean, you know.
I know.
It's a crisis, and it's not getting enough attention, but there are people dying. There are children dying in Puerto Rico. It looks like a bomb.
Well, that's where my money would, you know, that's where my money would go, would be to help that, you know, to help those type of things, because there's a lot of, I have the feeling that in the world right now, especially in the United States, they're getting hit from all angles. I mean, the fires at the west, the you know, the hurricanes, the things like that, and it's.
And if you're going to donate any money to Puerto Rico, give it to Ricky Martin, because that man is an angel and he's helping.
Really?
Them.
I didn't know about that. I was going to go with Red Cross.
He's helping them. No, I'll tell you, I heard some bad things about the Red Cross from the Hurricane Harvey. And
yeah.
I don't think I'm giving them my money anymore. But look, Grace, we've got a caller. Should we? Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah,
this
okay.
Is the same person. Hold on. Maybe this is the same person, though.
Well, the 16, the one number is mine, but I don't see. Okay, go ahead. Oh, yeah, there is a caller.
Michigan. Okay, let's take this. This is somebody different. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
My name's Jennifer. How are you?
Hi, Jennifer. This is Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
I've got a question. I'm good. I've got a question regarding time travel. So if, for instance, because I have a feeling, and I don't know if you can confirm it or not, I did a meditation and I went back in time. But when I went back in time, I physically wasn't myself. I was an older black male in a situation. So is that an aspect of time travel that you're aware of? Do you feel like that's something that we can do on our own?
That's a past life.
I think that's a past life, yeah. That's different.
But I don't know, because I felt like it could have been.
Well, if you're time traveling, you're aware of it. It's like you know that you're doing it, and
I was aware that I was doing it.
But you would
what
be
John
the
Teeter
same
said,
thing. Yeah,
that you are now. It's like looking in a mirror and seeing all aspects, all of yourself. It's like looking at a bunch of mirrors and walking through the mirror to go to another time. Okay. Were you a black man from the past, or you were a black man from the present?
I felt like it could have been the past or the present.
Okay. It could be somebody in your soul pod if it's the present, okay? Because when 9/11 happened, before, you know, whatever happened, I was asleep, and I saw myself standing on one of the windowsills getting ready to, you know, and then when I went down there, I saw it. So apparently somebody with my soul pod was going through this. So it could be, because you're linked together in a soul pod. So it could be somebody from your soul pod, all right? He said, because when they talked about deja vu, everybody's experienced deja vu, and he said when you're talking about deja vu, it's actually you accessing yourself in another universe, another parallel lifetime. You're accessing yourself either a few minutes before, a few minutes behind, but that's exactly, you're connecting to yourself in that universe. if you were from the past and you saw yourself as a black man from the past, it's possibly a past life. Because, like, I've been on, like, something like I was a slave in the Amistad. I was a slave owner, but at this, but in another lifetime, like, before or afterwards, I was a slave, you know, a big black man who was, I think I was separated from my kids and stuff like that. So I would go into spirit and I would ask, or, you know, ask what it was. What did you see yourself as when you were doing this?
Well, what happened was I was in a situation where I stopped a girl from getting raped. She was stuck at the side of the road, and I'd helped her, and then we drove into the town, and when we got there, it was like it hadn't fazed her, and it bothered me that it didn't bother her. She didn't want to report it.
She was in shock?
She was just so indifferent to everything. It was like she couldn't be, it was weird. It was like she couldn't be bothered reporting it.
Okay.
Which bothered me because I thought, well, why wouldn't she want to prevent this from happening to someone else? But that wasn't what she wanted. So it was a bit of a frustrating situation for who I was at that time.
Okay, so when did you, thinking that you were a black man or remembering that you were a black man or connecting with you being a black man, happened?
It was as I went back, I saw myself and then I was that person. So I saw me, then that was me.
Okay.
So I knew, and then I jumped in, so.
All right. Were you dreaming at the time?
No, I was. Actually,
were you kind of dreaming and driving?
No.
Were you trying
no.
or not trying to do it? Because it
I'm
has
crying.
Happened to me that I was sleeping and all of a sudden I was running on a path. I found myself, you know, flying up out of my bed, and I was flying up in my roof, and all of a sudden I was running. I looked down, and I was in shorts. It was freezing outside, and I was running. And I realized I had jumped into somebody else's body. And I'm thinking, well, if I'm in his body, where's he? You know, and then I came back out, and I came right back into bed again. So that could be one of the four possibilities there.
Okay.
That, you know, that happened. I can't really tell you for sure what happened. I just know that could be one of the four possibilities, that you know, jumped out of your body for a second, jumped into somebody else's body. That's possible, that is. Or you connected to somebody in your soul pod, or that you went to a past life, or I don't remember the other one I said. But these are several possibilities that could have happened.
How do we know who's in our soul pod?
I don't know. We're I read the book and now I don't remember anything, but we are come down as like pods almost. And we have people that have the same energetic vibration that we do. And Jen, do you know more about this than I do?
Yeah, so when I've asked them about this subject, they look like a bunch of grapes. If you can imagine
grapes.
A tree with grapes, like a bunch of grapes, and each soul is connected to the pod. And I believe the pods are 144 because that's the sacred number.
Oh, that's a big pod.
That's the number that keeps coming in, 144. Now, in the scheme of the universe, though, that's not really that large. But if you think about people that you've met in your life, and it's like I believe Grace and I are probably in the same soul pod. Because we just
Thank
have
you.
So much in common. Yeah.
Right.
And usually I'll explain it like you just get a feeling about somebody. Get a feeling. It's like they're on the same track. They have the same soul mission. The relationship is very natural. You don't have to work at it. That's another kind of telltale sign.
Right.
Now, soul pods are also called soulmates. They're your soulmates. So they can be like best friends. They can be romantic. They can be non-romantic. They could be siblings. parent, daughter, aunt, uncle, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities.
But you kind of travel with these people lifetime after lifetime.
Right. And so you'll be like, hey, let's go to Atlantis, let's go to Lemuria, let's go to Egypt, or, you know, the Civil War, or where, you know, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to try.
Yeah.
Like, let me give you an example. My dad and my nephew. This is a really cool story. My sister and I went down to the beach. We went down to Fort Macon, North Carolina, which is an old Civil War battleground. We brought my nephew, who was 4, and he said, out of the blue, in this little voice, he goes, there's a lot of blood down here. There's a lot of blood, a lot of dead people. He goes, it was really bad, Anjan. It was really bad. And I was like, okay. and he was 4 years old. Well, I came home, I looked in the records, and I found out that my dad and my nephew fought there in that battle together, side by side. My nephew in that lifetime was like 16. And he and my dad had that bond from the battle. They were protecting their homes. They were Confederate soldiers. Do you see what I'm saying? Now here we are. They're reincarnated again. And, you know, they're not going to do the war anymore because they don't even want to kill anything. My dad won't even kill a fish, hardly. You see what I mean? It's like he learned. He almost reverted back. He sprung the other direction. Like, I'm not killing anything. So, I believe that my father and my nephew are in the same soul pod. That's what I believe. I don't know about all my family members, but I think my dad and my nephew are.
Does that help at all, Jennifer?
It does. You know, I don't know. I'm not really of the mind. I don't believe that time is linear. So time travel to me would just be you putting yourself in a different place at the same time. So that's why I was thinking maybe that was possible, and maybe the whatever that era was I was in was happening concurrently with what's going on now. And that physically, you know, when you look in the mirror, but and this is who we perceive to be, but maybe we're not necessarily what we see in the mirror.
Okay.
So,
okay, exactly. It's like the last caller, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, what she did with the last caller was change the timeline. She took the karmic key, because that's what we do. We're Seraphim mm-hmm. Blueprint Healers, and we're guardians of Gaia. And so what she did was she went back and she took the key and was able to unlock what happened to the last caller. And now she has changed the timeline for her soul. So that's that. It was probably you might have been tapped into the Akashic Records. You may have been tapped into the Akashic Records. And they were showing you this lifetime that you have that needs to be dealt with. You know, because you can change. If you go back and actually, if you don't use the Akashic Records, you can use the Violet Flame to clear those up. And then if you clear that, then you change the timeline for your soul to move at a higher timeline or a higher vibration timeline. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Every time I've tried to go to the Akashic Records, it's just been a joke. So,
oh, you know what,
is-
Jennifer? Jennifer, she, you know, you. How the hell have you tried to go into the Akashic Records?
I've gone into meditation, and I've done several different types of meditations. I've gone in once Jesus was with me, and I'm looking at the book, and it's all written in hieroglyphics, but which later someone said was probably Sanskrit. And then I'm like, how am I supposed to read this? I asked Jesus, and Jesus just laughed at me and walked away.
Oh. Well.
Oh, Okay. I'm going to hand this over to you, Jen.
Yeah. So I do, once a month, I teach an intro to the Akashic Records. And this month, it's November 18th, if you'd like to join. But it's really good. It's a good class. It's
I've taken it twice.
And
it will be
I charge very minimally so that more people can attend. It's $100.
No, that's kind.
It's the fastest 4 hours of your life. You'll think like, you know, half an hour has passed. You'll be like, oh my God, really already done?
That's awesome. Okay, it's on your website.
Yeah, or you come to Unseen Realms, or you can go on our website, Blue Marble Online. What I ever post is www.bluemarble, without the E, B-L-U, marbleonline.com. And that's where her website is.
Okay, I will check it out. Thank you very much, ladies. This is very informative.
You're
welcome.
And just send me on my website, send me there's a contact form submission. Just send me your information. I'll contact you back, Jennifer.
Okay, well, I will do that. Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Thank
See?
You.
We stayed by, Jennifer. We stayed on longer.
We were supposed to talk to her.
Yeah, we were supposed to talk to her. So this week, hopefully, there'll be two callers on the stats for this week instead of one. All right, we love you all, and thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you. God bless everyone. Have a good week.
God bless everyone. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.